Every Thursday on the show, we speak to the author of a local non-fiction book. And today we're talking to heritage activist Patrick Tariq Mellett. And he's written The Lie of 1652, a decolonized history of land. It's described as a radical critique of established pre-colonial and colonial history, and it explores what Africans lost through the expropriation of land and, by extension, home, belonging, and social cohesion. It's also a plea for restoration. Tariq joining us on the line now. Thank you for your time on the Midday Report today. In recent years, we've seen a number of books being written about what we call the land question. How do you hope your book will join in that conversation around this narrative?
Hi there, and good day to your listeners. Most of the other books, have a reference point of 1913, the Land Act, and very often simply discuss land issues as they pertain to the Free State and the old Orange Free State and the old Transvaal Republic. What I do is I go back right to the beginning of land expropriation by Europeans without compensation. I think the term that has been used in the public arena of we in the 21st century are now going to expropriate land without compensation is actually a misconstruction. The expropriation without compensation happened in history. What we are now looking at is restorative justice, to restore the land from those who expropriated it. And it makes quite a difference what language you use. My book goes back through 3,000 years of Southern African history. And the lie in The Lie of 1652 is actually a number of lies. The notion of there being an empty land and that there was this huge black invasion from the north around about the same time as the Europeans arrived is totally blasted out of the water by this book.
You challenge
the foundation of the port of Cape Town is also totally challenged.
You challenge that 1652 paradigm, as you say, and the aim of the book is to break out of this constricting approach. What are you hoping to achieve with this book?
My starting point is this. For us to be able to have restorative justice, you first have to have restorative memory. And what we have in terms of history and heritage in South Africa is such a distortion of the fact. Let me give you a practical example, District 6. So when land restitution has been dealt with in District 6, it's been dealt with on the basis of those who could show title deeds to property would then stand a chance of getting their property back. But we all know historically that the vast majority of the 70,000 that lived in District 6 did not own property. They were tenants who had paid rent over and over and over again and more than bought their properties, but they would never be able to show a title deed. So restoring the memory of District 6 is a prerequisite to getting restorative justice, because the present system based on title deed ownership, whether in District 6 or throughout South Africa, is a complete nonsense approach to dealing with land restitution. Those who lost their land in 19 wars over 227 years never had documents that could say that they were title deed owners. That whole documentation process was part of the expropriation process by the Dutch and then the British. So what I'm trying to do is to, in a sense, change the coloniality of the story of South Africa and its land, so that people have this restored memory. Once you have restored memory, knowing your past enables you to navigate the present and the future, and in fact to be able to articulate restorative justice.
Five themes are explored in five chapters, and you draw on the fields of history, archaeology, genetics, linguistics, social history, anthropology. You write that all histories are versions, and this book, like all works, is a version or interpretation of a lived reality and a path of learning. You're hoping that people will engage on this issue.
Yes, I purposefully took a quasi-academic approach. and not just, you know, wrote a book, a story. Why I've done that is I've provided over 600 reference citations throughout the book. And I've always believed you actually learn more from looking at the endnotes and footnotes in books than you do.
You have a lot of endnotes in this book.
So what it's, you know, what I'm often asked by people is, well, this is what you say. Prove it. So what I'm doing is I'm empowering people to go and read the original texts and so on. You know, I found, for instance, I like everybody else, believed the 1652 story of Jan van Riebeeck and so on. And then in the 1980s, a new book came out by Richard Elphick, and he then said, no, there were 42 ships that came before van Riebeeck. Then one day, you know, I read a maritime history book, and I find out that there's 1,071 ships that came to the Cape before van Riebeeck, that they stayed over for periods of between 3 weeks and 9 months, and it totally changes the paradigm.
And so that's what I'm doing and here. That's what this book really does, doesn't
changing
it?
Changing the paradigm. Mm. Sorry, what was that?
And that's exactly what this book does do here, Patrick. I'm so sorry that we have to leave it there. I could have spoken to you for so much longer, but unfortunately, such is the nature of this show. So if you want to read that book, that's by Patrick Tarik-Mellett. He is The Lie. The book is called The Lie of 1652, A Decolonized History of Land. And it really is a fascinating look, a radical critique of what we think we know.